Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and as your wise man, I'm here to bestow upon you the wisdom that you're listening to casual yelling with some jerk named Matt who likes to yell casually.
Hey, welcome to Casual Yelling, the casual conversation podcast with, like, 25% less yelling. I am Matt Elfring, or I'm Matt Elfring. Hello, how are you? Really special episode this week because my gears have been grinded. That has that sounds so fake, the anger that doesn't exist in that sentence. And I wanna set everything out for you as I really like board games and tabletop role playing and other types of things like that. I like nerdy board game stuff. You know, like, I think that's a pretty apparent if you've ever talked to me more than 5 minutes or I think listen to the show. I think I've talked to, yeah, Ross Thompson was on here and he's a D&D and tabletop role playing nerd. So I think that's pretty apparent that those are the things that I like. And recently I went to a store where I thought those things would exist to purchase because I was on the lookout for something. Unfortunately, none of those things exist. And I just want to talk about this situation, which is a written piece on patreon.com/ I'm Matt Elfring. But I want to get more in depth than what I actually originally wrote. So the piece is called Hey Gamers World, Where Are Your Games? So I was hanging out with my son. We were doing the whole arcade thing. We went to an arcade in the Fox Valley Mall in Aurora, Illinois. Yes, Aurora, Illinois. Wayne's World, party time, excellent. That city. Fun fact, this is my only favorite fun fact that I constantly bring up to friends. Only one shot of that movie is actually filmed in Aurora, and it was a very, very quick passing shot of a White Castle. It's on Route 31. That's the only shot of the entire movie, to the best of my knowledge from watching it a million times, that took place in Aurora. There are lots of Illinois things in there, like from Berwyn, and other places, but nothing actually really in Aurora. Anyways, I'm in the Fox Valley Mall. I'm with my son. We had just got done wasting all of our money at the arcade, playing ticket games and getting like a $3 thing, which we ended up paying like $40 for to play ticket games. Regardless, arcade games are fun. I like playing ticket games with my son. It's fun. It's fun to be a dad sometimes if that's your thing. So we're walking around and I'm like, you know, we got some more time to kill. I kind of just want to see what else the mall has to offer. We stop by the For Your Entertainment store, FYE, which is basically, it's a lot of, there's a lot of anime there. There's some movies, physical movies, a ton of collectibles and other fun things. So we check that out. Great. You know, my son got a couple of Chainsaw Man Funko Pops. He's never seen Chainsaw Man. I refuse to let him watch it because it's not for him. He's too young. But he likes the characters and the look of the characters, and I don't blame him. Like, Chainsaw Man looks really cool. He's got a chainsaw for a head. That's cool. So we get through FYE. We go to this bookstore that I know has role-playing game stuff, and I went to go look up there. See if there's any actual board games. I saw some D&D and I saw some pretty basic board game stuff. Nothing that I was really interested in. And at the time, I'm really trying not to look this up while I talk about it, because I always mess the name of this game up. I was looking for an expansion for a game that I love, Betrayal on the House of the Hill. Oh, I gotta type it up. Betrayal at the House on the Hill. I can never, ever get the name of that board game right. It's one of my favorite board games to play. I have one expansion that's a werewolf. Every game is kind of different depending on how you play. I've never played the same, technically, game twice. I've done the same scenario, but how you play is different. You know, how you build a mansion is different every time. To me, it has the most replayability of any adult board game. Now, when I say adult board games, I want to really make this point. I'm not talking about somebody like put the dick on the butt or, you know, anything sexual or like any sexual innuendo. Like when I've played God, not apples to apples. Cards Against Humanity. It, my family was there, and God, I don't know if I want to say this part. My mom drew a card with the word Bukkake on it, and she looked at it, and she goes, "Bukkake, what does that mean?" And I stopped, and I said, "Mom, draw a new card. I don't think anybody wants to explain that. Also, I shouldn't be playing Cards Against Humanity with my family, also, at all." It's just apples to apples with swearing. Apples to apples, is that what it's called? I don't remember. You know, these simplest, they're not simplistic card games. They're fun party card games where you choose prompt, there's a prompt, and then you put down what is the funniest thing to put down on that prompt, and someone judges and chooses. There's 8 million variations of this game. So I want to find like cool tabletop role-playing games, maybe stuff I haven't played yet. Like for Christmas, I got Hues and Cues, which I had played and I really enjoyed. I'm a big fan of Wavelengths, which is more of like a party type game. There's a lot of really, really cool, innovative, new types of board games out there. And I'm like, I kind of have a hunger to get something new, but I was really looking for the expansion for Betrayal at the House on the Hill. Yeah, sure. I think I said it right. So I searched around through the directory of the mall and I found Gamers World on the directory. And I remember Gamers World, it used to be called Gamers Paradise. When I was younger growing up, mainly, you know, 12 to like 21, in my local mall, there was a store, Gamers Paradise, which eventually became Gamers World. And you could buy TTRPG books there, board games, CCGs. I remember picking up like supplementary D&D 3.5 books, mainly so I could be a paladin that like an evil paladin. I forgot what it's essentially what Oathbreaker could be now, or Paladin of Vengeance. I don't remember. This is a long time ago. Evil paladin. I like playing as paladins. So it was a good store because not only did it have D&D, it had other books that I wasn't aware of, like locally produced Obsidian, which is written by a friend of mine. And it's like, it's not a D20 system. I don't remember exactly the system, but it's like a cyberpunk game where like you can get enhancements, cybernetic enhancements, so you lose humanity. Called shots were a big thing in that game, I remember. Mainly because my friend Ray would always do called shots to the head and somehow always hit. He would never miss, and it got frustrating for the rest of us because he was just so beefed up, and he wasn't gaming the system. His character was just really good at shooting people in the head. I like called shots. That's something else that you'll be hearing in the upcoming weeks before we go to season 2, is I'm just going to do a whole thing about my homebrewed D&D rules that I really like. But anyway, so my memory of Gamers Paradise, which is now Gamers World, is it was really the only place I knew you could go to buy those type of games. Like, sure, you could get Magic the Gathering cards almost anywhere, but you couldn't get D&D books anywhere. You couldn't get, I think Warhammer was there at the time. Warhammer's always existed, right? But there wasn't, cool board games were hard to get. And it wasn't really as predominant as it is now. So because Gamers World was on the map for the Fox Valley Mall, I decided, I'm with my son, I'm looking for this popular games expansion. This place is for gamers. They should have it. This place should have a very popular games expansion pack. I shouldn't have a problem getting it. So we walked down there, and the front of the store was familiar because up it had the Dice logo on top, which, you know, it's very nostalgic for that. There's a couple things in the window, like a D&D thing and then a Zombicide thing. And everything seemed cool. Like everything seemed like it was going to go the way I wanted it to. So I stepped into the store and it became really depressing to me. Like, so 20 feet in front of me was the checkout counter. And there was a man there, middle-aged, kind of running the counter, just kind of looking at his phone. I mean, he's in a mall. The store is completely empty. It's just neon lights pounding down on emptiness. You know, it could be a scene from a zombie movie where there's just nothing in there but the lights work. So I look to the left and right on the two like end caps. There's some tchotchkes there of, you know, keychain for famous character, you know, or tiny little game you can play in your hand, but nothing like exciting. It was just like, move these metal balls for the puzzle so you can release the key, which, you know, the crap I'm talking about. It's not crap. It's just, you know, the buy me section as you walk in or leave, which leads you deeper into the store. So you buy more things. It's a point of interest. I worked in retail for a long time. You put that point of interest stuff up front that doesn't cost as much money, and that piques your interest, and you walk further back into the store to find different items that cost more money that you would be into or be more inclined to purchase. It's cheese for the mouse. Well, peanut butter for the mouse. Mice like peanut butter. So these were like $10 things, and it's that situation, like I said, in piques your interest, whatever, but it's mainly so like little kids can go to mom and dad and be like, I want this, and then they eventually drag the parents into the store. So to the right of me was a 10-foot long wall of puzzles. I am fine with that. I go into my local Barnes and Noble quite often to look at board games, TTRPGs. There's a giant manga section now, and there's also a section for puzzles, and my family and I on occasion like to do puzzles together. Because, you know, we're old and boring. And so there's puzzles there. You know, you can get a puzzle of a cottage. Why are so many puzzles to be like a cottage in the fall? Who is, if you're a painter out there that does pictures of cottages in the fall on a lake, hit me up. I'd like to know how many paintings you've commissioned to make into puzzles. Because most of it's just one artist. One artist does all the paintings of cottages. What's in this painting? Well, this one, you know, it's got a little lake. There's a cottage. It's white, like all cottages. And there's a fall. All the leaves are brown. And the sky, a little gray. But in my next piece, it's going to be blue. There's also a dock with no boat. You know, so you could just sit at the dock of the bay. God, I'm just referencing so many songs. But there's no boat there, so you can kick your feet in the water, and maybe you can do some fishing and catch a catfish. I don't know what's in it. What kind of bass? I'm not a fisherman. Anyways, puzzles on the right. Then I look to the left, and there's a mixture of every expansion to Zombicide I had ever seen. And I was a Kickstarter backer of the first three Zombicides, maybe four. Whenever the Black Plague was, I think it was the fourth one. Was the last one I kickstarted. So I'm very familiar with Zombicide. I like the game a lot. No one else really wants to play it. It can be complicated because you have to move the zombies based on noise and based on sight of line. Line of sight. Based on line of sight for the zombies. And you also have missions to go. It's a good game, but no one really wants to play it with me. So next to those zombies, seriously, it was 5 feet tall, about 6 feet wide of just Zombicide stuff. It was the most I had seen. Even when I had all of my board games and all the Zombicide stuff at the time, this was like 10 times as much it felt like. Maybe my memory is over exaggerating, but it felt like all the Zombicide. Like, you know, when you go to the bread aisle and it's all bread, that's what it felt like. Just Zombicide. So next to that, there is some D&D stuff, and it was really like lackluster. I didn't see core rule books, which, first of all, your mistake. You need to have like multiple core rule books in at all times. I know we're switching over to D&D 1. I don't know what it's called now. It's not called D&D 1 anymore. But, you know, there's supplemental books. There's, you know, Xanthar's Guide to Everything, Tasha's Hideous Cauldron. You know, the books like that kind of help your character creation. There's also the stories and adventures that I'm in a modular right now playing with, my friend is DMing and all of us in a group are playing, and we all call it Vecna Quest. It has something to do with the Rod of Seven Parts, and you have to collect these rods. It is very, 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 if you've read the Walking Dead books, you'll kind of understand. There's probably this story structure is called something, but you're given a mission You find that mission. There's a bad guy. Oh no, I've got to kill that bad guy. I've killed him. I've collected this item. I go back to the main area. And I know you're thinking, like, Walking Dead, what do you mean by that? Well, Walking Dead is a story structure of, like, find a new place. Oh, this person's in charge. They seem nice. Oh no, they're evil. Kill that bad guy. Stay at that place for a little while. Say you have to move on. It's that very, like, secular progression of a story where you go to a place and decide ultimately to go to another place. And that's just how the story rolls on and on and on forever. So at this point, I'm disappointed with the D&D. There was a few miniatures to paint and stuff too. I always find that to be important. I am not a theater of the mind player so much as other people are, but I think a good mixture of D&D and DMing is theater of the mind. And also I really, really like terrain and God, you know, all this stuff. Well, we're talking about Gamer's World. All right. Next to D&D is Warhammer stuff, just a limited amount. And I don't think I've ever discussed my feelings on Warhammer. I'm not a millionaire, so I'm not playing that crap. That's why I always get mad. I go to Gamers Workshop and it's just Warhammer. And then in addition to that, it's Citadel Paints. And I hate Citadel Paints. Sorry, not sponsored. Anyways, we get past that very small section of TTRPGs and there's plastic tables. Like, I would say it was five or six plastic tables. The ones that are 3 feet wide and the length would be 5 to 6 feet. About that. You know, you can have a bunch of people sit around and I'm thinking like, cool, these people can come in, buy some Pokemon cards, which were in the center area in glass cases, and then they can go play Pokemon in the back, or you can go play. I couldn't imagine running a D&D game in a Gamer's Workshop, or sorry, Gamer's Paradise / Gamer's World. Because like, you're not going to be buying the stuff there. And like, are they just cool with you hanging out for 3 hours and everybody throwing dice and like yelling at each other with bad accents? Probably not, but you could probably play Warhammer there too. I know Warhammer's a little bit easier to play in a situation like that because it's very just mostly fighting, tactical, all that. While D&D is more role-playing and improvising. So behind those tables was all like, so the store was probably about 25 feet wide. And now at this point, we are about 30 feet to the back of the store. I might be over-exaggerating. I don't know. I don't know size very well, apparently. But the back wall is all sports memorabilia. And it was kind of sad in a sense that like you have this empty space of tables separating the sports memorabilia from all the gaming side of things. And I'm not going to dunk on sports memorabilia collectors or anything like that. I am one. I collect sports memorabilia stuff. I've got signed photos of Robbie Gould, Pat O'Donnell, Brad Maynard. Trenton Gill. I have other stuff like Walter Payton signed football signed by a bunch of linebackers, the most famous linebackers of the Bears, blah, 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 blah. But the examples I give originally of Gold, Maynard, Hill, and Pat O'Donnell, that they're all punters and kickers. And I find it very funny that I have a lot of signed photos of punters and kickers. I don't know why I've loved punters and kickers for some reason. And so, yeah, I've got signed photos of them. And on my Patreon, I post a picture of some of my sports collectibles. And I'm not going to sit here and say the thing I hate so much, which is sports ball. I'm not an asshole who demeans other people's interests. I find that dismissive and whatever. And you can be a nerd and be into sports. I know it's a very different type of nerd and a different personality, but it's just as gatekeepy as gaming can be. But I am a nerd and I'd like to boast my nerd credentials right here, so you know that I am one and I'm not a sports jock. I'm not one of those sporty boys. I've got a D20 tattooed on my inner bicep. I own so many supplemental D&D books, both 3E, 3.5E, and 5E. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to throw this out there. I have the starter pack for basic D&D, the one from the 70s. I am killing it with nerd credentials. I also have a copy of Traveler. If you don't know what Traveler is, I'll explain it really quickly. It's a TTRPG where the first like five sessions are your character creation and you decide what you want to do. Like, I want to be a spaceship pilot. This is science fiction, by the way. I want to be a spaceship pilot. So, okay, you go to school first and then you roll. And if you roll poorly, like you fail out, or if you roll success. So you go through all these progressions of your character's life, but you know, you have goals you want to achieve. And will you reach those goals? Maybe, probably not. But that's what I really like about that game. Then from there, you kind of do group fighting and group traveling because it's called Traveler. But because I own Traveler, it makes me really cool. I got Star Wars Edge of Empire. I think that's the idea of the game. I like creating characters within the Star Wars universe. I feel the battle system and attack system is complete and utter bullshit, and you have to buy their dice to use it. The blast dice or whatever, those D6s that are just so stupid looking. Because it's like hits and counter hits. It's almost Thaco-esque, but like Thaco's more fun because it has stat sheets, and I think Thaco sucks, but Thaco's more fun because it has stat sheets. But there's so much like plussing and minusing you have to do when you roll the dice. I am talking way too much of the Star Wars Edge of the Empire. I got Spycraft, the Doctor Who book, which I actually hate. I've never played a game of the Doctor Who role-playing game, but it's so weird because that game wants you to play as just characters that already exist, but they also have character creation. Also, when they have the intelligence of the pre-generated doctor, you can play as David Tennant, Jodie Whittaker, Peter Capaldi, Christopher Eccleston, Matt Smith, any of them. The intelligence is the same as the companions. Like, if there's one thing we know about the doctor, it's that his intelligence is ridiculous compared to a human's. Anyway, that's my problem. Hey, I got Spycraft. That's a TTRPG about being a spy. I got painting things, got paint miniatures. Okay, I have gotten way off track from where this has started. But I'm really just trying to push it in that I am a nerd just like you. Do I watch almost every game of the Chicago Bears each season? Yeah, I do. Do I play D&D on Wednesday nights? Yeah. If there's not enough people there for D&D night, do we play some form of tabletop game? Yeah, of course we do. What about video games? Yeah, I play video games. I like playing college football on PS5 right now. I'm the coach of Sam Houston in my third season. But my favorite game, just so you don't think I'm a sportsy, is Final Fantasy Tactics. That's pretty cool. That's really nerdy, right? Well, I like Final Fantasy Tactics. I like Civ. I'm into Civ. I don't have the new game because I don't have money for that. Doctor Who, you know what? I've already mentioned my Doctor Who cred. I watched the show as a child on PBS. Guess who was my first doctor? No, not Tom Baker, because that's before I was born. Sylvester McCoy's the first one I remember watching. Bam. That's my doctor. I like the new stuff, too. This stuff's good. Anyways, way off track. Gamers World, where are your games? You don't have any, you don't really have a games that you have a 15% of the store is games. You know what? I'll be generous and say 20% of the store is games. I know the way I described it seems like it was 25% of the store, but the actual games and puzzle section up front was so much smaller compared to the back, which was tables and sports memorabilia. 20% max. I'm going to say it's around 15% of actual board game or board game related material. When I say board games, I mean like three board games and mostly TTRPG. But I think the point of this was, yes, Gamers World, the one I went to in Fox Valley Mall in Aurora sucks. It's bad. It's a bad store. There's a bookstore on the second floor near the Macy's. That big, huge bookstore I really like. I don't remember what the name of it is. They have like a good TTRPG and board game section. Go there. FYE, which is on the food court level. That's you got to take that weird escalator down. When I say weird escalator, it's like half a floor down and the ceilings there are all like 7 feet tall. But there's a food court and there's an FYE buried in the corner. They've got some good stuff in there too. I think the point of this really is Gamers World is in that Fox Valley Mall sucks. But also, maybe when you're thinking about the things that you're into and the things that you're passionate about, people love what they love. And I don't think, and I'm talking about entertainment wise and, you know, how you pass the time with friends, you know, how you entertain each other. So maybe we should stop crapping on each other for the things we like, because we all like different things. There's markets for the things that we like. And what's nice is that we're not all the same person with the same interests, because that would make life pretty boring. You're not open to new ideas. You're not open to trying new things. If every single one of your friends plays Pathfinder, how are you going to find new things if you're only interested in Pathfinder? The only reason my friends and I started playing Betrayal on House on the Hill was because, like, I had a copy and I just brought it one week. I think somebody else in the group had played it as well, our DM. And maybe one other guy. But I just want to point out our D&D group is, we have our DM, and I'm counting people around the table. I think it's 8 people in the party. Let me check. It's okay. So I'm going to go around the table. Andrew, then Andy, Dad, myself, Kurt, naming people's names, Hutch, Will. So that's 7. And then Tyler, our DM. Okay, so that's 8 people that we play with. That's kind of a big party for Wednesday night playing. We technically get in like 2.5 hours once a week. So that's it. Just like what you like. Don't be afraid to try new things when it comes to gaming or being entertaining each other. If someone likes sports, don't say sports ball to demean them, because I know we all grew up getting made fun of for being nerdy, and nerdy is cool now, which is great. I mean, it's great because, like, there's more people to play D&D with. When I was in high school, there was not. It was like me, Andrew, Will, Kurt, and that was it. We're still playing together, though. Anyways, rogues are overpowered. But also, Gamers World, where your games, you have a limited amount of games, and half your store is sports memorabilia, I'd like to sue you for your store's title being misleading. That's it for this week. There are 2 more episodes planned as of right this second before we go into season 2, which is 90% recorded. Most of the interviews have been done. I cannot say the next week's episode I can't talk about yet. I don't know. One of the 2 final episodes is about D&D homebrewing rules. And there's another episode I can't talk about yet because I'm under embargo for about that. So that's it this week. Thank you for listening. And that's it. Patreon.com/ I'm Matt Elfring. That's it. That's the only place I'm at right now for content. Oh, YouTube.com/ I'm Matt Elfring, I think, as well. I'm doing videos on occasion there. The podcast is also posted there. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. But YouTube is where podcasts are moving. So that's kind of where Casual Yelling is also landing at this point. That's it for this week. Bye, 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 bye.